There is no life to be found in violence. Every act of violence brings us closer to death. Whether it's the mundane violence we do to our bodies by overeating toxic food or drink, or the extreme violence of child abuse, domestic warfare, life-threatening poverty, addiction, or state terrorism. And this week's opening quote comes from Bell Hooks. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Terrorism is something that is all-pervasive in the world today, folks, and terrorism is nothing less than psychological warfare. The purpose of terrorism is an attempt to manipulate people's behavior by creating fear, uncertainty, and division within society. That is the very foundation of terrorism. That is what it's for. That is its entire purpose. If you look up the definition of the word terrorism in the Oxford English Dictionary, it's defined as violence or the threat of violence carried out against civilians as a means of coercion, often for political reasons. Well, that's what it used to say anyway. That's what it says in my Oxford English Dictionary at home. I'm not sure whether it still does. They may have changed it the way they'd like to change the meanings of words and the way they like to take words out, such as the word I often use, cacistocracy, how they removed that from the dictionary about 100 years ago. And you'll find that with other words such as terrorism, very often they change the meanings ever so slightly just to put you off course a little bit. But in my Oxford English Dictionary at home, terrorism is defined, as I said, as violence or the threat of violence carried out against civilians as a means of coercion, often for political reasons. And terrorism is one of the things that has always been used to sway public opinion ever since we created society. And in modern times, we literally see it everywhere. It's happening so much now that people have simply become accustomed to it. People have almost grown used to it. But the question is, where does it all come from? What is the purpose of all of this terrorism, and where is it all leading to? You know, when you look at what's happening, folks, the way our world's been locked down into a police state in order to keep us safe from the terrorists, but then you realize that terrorism is a tool that has been used by government since the invention of government, literally since time immemorial, way back since Nero burnt Rome, then you really begin to see a bigger picture of what's going on here. And in fact, if you can get hold of an early dictionary, you will find that terrorism was actually defined as a tool of government. And it's very important that people understand this, that that is not just the way it was then, it's also the way it is now. It's the way it still is, and it's the way it's always been. You know, they changed that definition in the dictionary for a reason. It's because they don't want you to look in that direction, because the truth of the matter is that it is still going on. What governments do all the time is terrorism. In fact, the entire government operating system is based on terrorism. And that may seem like a pretty broad statement to make at such an early time, but I'll get back to that in a minute. But when you look at the terrorism that's carried out in the world, the on-the-ground terrorism that we see, the violence, the shootings and the bombings and all this sort of stuff, the real hands-on in-the-news terrorism that we see, when you really begin to look at all this stuff, folks, it soon becomes very apparent that all of these acts of terrorism are carried out by government. And when you look a little deeper, you see that some of them are so extravagant that really, if you didn't have ties to government, there's no way you could get away with carrying them out to begin with. And it becomes a little obvious to people when you can see it for yourself and you find that none of the mainstream media is ever addressing these points, never even taking it into account. Even with the track record of these organizations, and when you look back just through the 20th century, I mean, there's so many false flag terror attacks that were carried out by government. I actually did a show last year, I think it was last year, called A Brief History of Government False Flag Terrorism, or A Brief History of Government-Sponsored Terrorism, something like that I titled it. Go and check that out. I went through so many events the government has done, like literally hundreds of terror attacks have been staged by government just in the last 100 years. And with all of that track record, any time you see a terror attack or a terror event or a shooting or anything on TV, when does the media ever question the possibility? They don't. The media doesn't even remotely consider the possibility that any of these acts could be carried out by government, when in fact virtually all of them are. And you can confirm this by simply asking the question, cui bono, who benefits from all of this terrorism? What do you see, the Middle East becoming a far better place because of all these terror attacks? Is that the result? Is that why Muslims would be attacking people, because they want to improve things in their country? Have we seen things improve in their country since all these terror attacks started? And what would you achieve if you're a Muslim by running out in the street and yelling Allah Akbar and Sharia law is coming and all this sort of stuff? What would it achieve if you're a Muslim? Do you think it would endear people to Muslims and make them stop bombing your country? And what would be another plan? What would you do if you were someone who really didn't like Muslims and you wanted to get people to go and bomb their country? Well, perhaps you'd put on a little outfit and grow a Muslim beard and run out in the street and start yelling, Allah Akbar, Sharia law is coming. You just got to look at who benefits in all of these operations, folks, and what is the ultimate result of all of this activity? All we've seen as a result of any so-called Muslim terror activity is more power to Western governments and an endless funneling of money to the State of Israel. Same result every time, regardless of where the attack is, which country is attacked, doesn't matter. Same result every time, more power to government, more aid to Israel. What a strange result. You think about it, folks. How would you even get around to do one of these? I mean, how would you get all these bombs and guns and go out and do any of this stuff that they claim these Muslims sneak into the country and do? All these Muslim extremists or brainwashed kids who suddenly buy all these weapons and put on body armor and go to school. You try and put on body armor and walk down the street and see how far you get. Try to even get out and get into your car and drive down through a couple of sets of traffic lights without anyone spotting that you're wearing body armor. And then try and get out of your car and enter into any building, doesn't matter what it is, anything like a hotel or a school or anything, carrying anything that even remotely resembles a gun. See how you go, folks, and see if you can actually get away with it, and consider that. And just ask the question, cui bono? Who benefits? What is the result of any terror attack? And the result always is more power to government and less rights for the people. That's the way it always goes. And that's why it's always been, and that's what terrorism is used for. And we see this unfolding now in the United States with the move to disarm the people of the United States, the huge push for gun control, due to the amount of shootings which are undoubtedly staged by the government themselves, simply to provide the excuse they need to remove the people of their firearms. It really does boggle the mind how people can't see this, that governments are the main purveyors and the main creators of terrorism in the world today. In fact, if we didn't have government, we wouldn't have terrorism, because even if terrorists were real, even if it was a bunch of ragtag Muslims that are annoyed at being blown up, well, they wouldn't be blown up if it wasn't for government to begin with. But the fact is that most of the terrorists we see are not Muslims from the sand dunes. These are government agents, these are CIA, these are NSA and Mossad, Israeli agents. You'll find Israeli fingerprints on most modern terror activity. You'll find it on most school shootings. If not Israeli fingerprints, then CIA, NSA fingerprints on virtually all school shootings that you see in the United States. All of these things are staged, ladies and gentlemen. None of these things are carried out by the people you think are carrying them out. And it's all been done for a reason. And that might be a really shocking thing for a lot of people out there listening, although a lot of listeners of this show probably already know this, but a lot of people who may be new to the show, it may be a bit of a shock for them to hear something like that. But the fact is that governments use terrorism all the time, and they use it in everyday life. As I said, terrorism is the underlying foundation of the government system. Now consider this for a moment, just think about it. Even the fact that the police can intimidate you the way they do, this is called terrorism, folks. This is violence, or the threat of violence, carried out against civilians as a means of coercion for political reasons. And it is. That's exactly what it is. A police officer on the side of the road, he is intimidating you and threatening you with violence if you do not comply with the political agenda that he is subservient to. And he's simply forcing you to be subservient to it as well, under the threat of violence. And this is terrorism, folks. Now, going to court and the way you feel intimidated in court because you're scared the government may lock you in a cage, this is terrorism. This is psychological warfare. That's exactly what the government does to the people all the time. Terrorism is the only way they can get people to stay in check, and it is the subtle terrorism, the subtle fear of authority, the subtle fear of punishment, the subtle fear of violence or the threat of violence being carried out against you. That is what is used to coerce you into compliance, and that, my friends, is terrorism by definition. Now, the problem is that people don't notice it because it's introduced to them subtly. They're indoctrinated into just accepting terrorism as being a part of their everyday life. We call it obedience. We call it respect for authority. We call it corporal punishment. Back in the old days, it used to be when your parents gave you a smack. At school, it was when they used to give you the cane. When they keep you behind at school, they make you stay after hours, they give you extra work, all of this sort of stuff. Everything that you do in school, you do under fear of punishment if you do not do what you are told. This is terrorism, psychological warfare, psychological manipulation, forcing you to comply, not teaching you in a manner that you will learn, but forcing you to comply to someone else's way of thinking, and doing so under the threat of punishment. That's what the education system is, and the foundation of that system is the subtle use of terrorism. Now, people don't notice it in school. They just see it as a respect for authority, and so it is subtly instilled into them, and they become more accepting of it as they move out into society, because then society uses these same terrorist tactics in order to coerce them into compliance. That's the way the system works. And that's the only way the system can work. Because if it wasn't for the fear of punishment, I mean, look at the world, folks. If it wasn't for the fear of punishment, no one would have done any of this to begin with. We never would have let them get away with this far if it wasn't for the fear of punishment, should we ever, ever think about standing up for ourselves. And it's about time that finished. It's about time we started looking at this for what it really is and realizing that we've been manipulated for a very, very long time by this multinational criminal enterprise that uses terrorism to coerce us, and we need to really see this for what it is and start standing up for ourselves, because the world's about to change. It really is, and we need to pay attention. But you think about the depths of what I'm saying here, folks. Terrorism is what government uses to control people in everyday life. That's what they use. They use terrorism. You think about it. Anything that you are forced to do, any regulation you are forced to comply with under threat of violence being done against you if you do not comply, anything that you are forced to do under threat of punishment, this is psychological control, psychological manipulation, and this is terrorism by definition. Think about the gun debate. Think about the gun control. Those people who will not give up their last line of defense. Those people who wish to protect the United States by standing by the Second Amendment and keeping their right to protect the nation from tyranny. Those people will face terrorism from the government. They will face agents of the state who will come to their house, and they will use terrorism in order to disarm them. And if they do not allow themselves to be disarmed, then these agents of the state will go further and they will murder them. That, my friends, is terrorism. That is government-sponsored terrorism. That is what the police force is. They are government-sponsored terrorists. I mean, sure, there's a lot of good things the police do. They save people in road accidents. They do all sorts of good stuff, but that is what we employ them to do. All the other stuff, all the law enforcement that they do is not law enforcement. It is terrorism. Because government itself is terrorism. The entire foundation of government is terrorism. Taxes under the threat of violence are terrorism. Anything that threatens that you should be locked into a cage if you do not comply is terrorism. And this is what governments do. It's what governments are. And that's what we've got, folks. As I said last week, the world is run by a multinational, multi-generational criminal cabal of ruthless people who use manipulation of the money supply, warfare, and terrorism to coerce the populations of the world into compliance, and every one of these governments is working together. Yeah, that's what all these shootings have been about. That's what all of these trade agreements have been about. Really, when you look back at the last 10 or 20 or even 30 years, even longer than that, you know, you look back and you look at this trail of destruction, and you look at the plans of the elite, and everyone's been trying to figure it out, and everyone's known that this whole new world system is going to come online, but nobody's really known what it is. And you don't really get it. You don't really see the bigger picture until you realize, as I said, that all the governments are working together. It's one big entity. There are no enemies here. They're all working together to achieve a common goal. Now, across Europe here, this whole One Belt, One Road system is coming online, this whole Chinese trade agreement. There's new railways being built here through Spain, being built all across Europe. This whole system is coming online, folks. That's just the way it is. There's little news articles coming out now how China wants to stop trading in the US dollar. It wants to start trading in its own currency. It's starting to fight back against the United States Inasmuch as we see Donald Trump imposing trade tariffs against China, and China responds by imposing trade tariffs against the United States. If you're going to do it, then we're going to do it back, because it's not really backing down anymore. You know, the world isn't really looking at the United States as being the big superpower, the big threatening force that it once was. I mean, it might be militarily, but it no longer is economically. The only reason the United States continues to maintain its stranglehold over things is because the United States currency is the world reserve currency. The US dollar is the world reserve currency. That's what keeps the United States in the position that it's in. Once it loses that position, then things are going to change very drastically on the ground in the United States. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing all this unfold now. And you've got to look at how it's been brought about and how it has to be brought about. You know, if you wanted to shift the world into this whole new system, how are you going to do it in a peaceful manner without there being some form of, you know, open warfare, which is never going to work. The people are never going to go for that. It's just going to be the empire marching out, or that's what people would perceive it to be. You have to do it in a different way. So you get someone like Trump to come in, bring the economy back online, make America great again, bring the industry back and all this sort of stuff. So the trade agreements and the tariffs and all this sort of stuff that he's doing, this is sort of rubbing people the wrong way. It's providing excuses for China to put these tariffs back against the United States, and it's providing an excuse for Europe to pull away from the United States, because Trump's saying, hey, make America great again, we've got to isolate ourselves. So this creates the excuse for Europe to do this. It creates the excuse for China to step in and say, hey, we'll pick up the slack that the United States just dropped. So we'll take over things from this point. And once that happens, there's no need for the United States dollar to remain the reserve currency. You think about it. If there's a one belt, one road system, which is happening throughout Europe and it's being run by China, then where is the need whatsoever to have the trade agreements all trading in US dollars? It makes no sense to do this. It's in Europe, so if anything, you'd be using the euro. But if it's going to be run by China, well, wouldn't you be using their currency? It makes sense for this to happen, and it makes sense for it to shift over to a cryptocurrency, which China is actually in the process of creating their own national cryptocurrency at the moment. So you can see where all this is going. And again, when you look back, you see that the United States has got itself massively in debt. Who has it got itself in debt to? China, of course. It didn't borrow money from the World Bank. It didn't borrow from any of these other sources. It got itself in debt to China. So now you have Trump come along, create all these trade agreements, create all these tariffs, all these new things, make America great again. Basically, all he's doing is pulling America away from the rest of the world, and he's creating the excuse for the rest of the world to basically take out on their own. The children are now leaving the parent, and the parent is going to be left floundering. That's the way it's sort of going to be. And they have to disarm the people of the United States before this will happen, of course. I mean, when you think about this, the damage that it's going to do to the United States economy when the United States loses its position as the world's reserve currency, it's going to really change things on the ground for a lot of people in the United States. It's going to change the United States completely. And it may have a lot of military, may have a lot of guns, may have a lot of bombs, but the military is scattered. They're all over the place. They can't really defend the country because they're out attacking everywhere else. So they're not really much help to anybody. And the United States is due to change. This is why countries have been rubbing shoulders with China so much. This is why the Australian government has been rubbing shoulders with China way back when John Howard got ousted from office. And even before then, I mean, John Howard was over there rubbing shoulders with China anyway. But the government straight after that, I mean, the Prime Minister can actually speak Chinese. That was one of the main draw cards for that guy. They wanted him to go over there and liaise with China. And all this has been going on for quite a while, folks. This whole thing has been theatre, and it's all leading towards the same point. And it's all about this whole smart system that they've always wanted to bring online. And we're seeing elements of it everywhere. You know, the 5G grid is coming online everywhere. Massive rollouts in England at the moment. Huge funding by the British government, something to the tune of £25 million for 5G projects on the anniversary of the UK's digital strategy. They worked out this strategy a year ago, and so now they've announced they're going to put 25 million into rolling out 5G. Of course, they won't put even 25 cents into rolling out any blankets for the homeless, but they'll put 25 million into rolling out this 5G system. And it's coming online in every country, folks, and make no mistake about that. That's the thing. It's in Russia, it's in China, it's in Australia, it's in Iran, it's in all the countries who are pretending to be enemies with each other. They're all rolling this same system out, ladies and gentlemen. And all the terrorism that they stage, and all the animosity that they stage towards each other, and all these wars and all this stuff, it's all contrived in order to create the environment where they could roll this system out and the people would accept it. That's what it's been about all along. It's very important that people pay attention to this because we still have a window to change it. I mean, look, you know, the system, the communication system, it's going to go ahead. They're going to do it. But as I keep saying, the problem is that the world is run by criminals and that's who's controlling the transition. I mean, we could have this communication system. We can have all the technology that we're getting. We don't have to have it being run by millimeter wave, 5G, which is going to be very, very bad. Just the health aspects of it alone are quite horrendous. But, you know, there's a lot of disinformation being put out about that as well. A lot of people think as soon as 5G comes online, we're all going to get cooked in microwave. Well, it's not going to be like that. The possibilities are there, but of course they're going to be very subtle in the way they use it. And there's a lot of fear-mongering so that when 5G does come online and everyone doesn't suddenly get incredibly sick, everyone's just going to go, oh, it was all fear-mongering and there's nothing to it anyway. But there is. There's a lot more to it than what people believe. There's a lot underneath the surface. And that's why there's a lot of fear-mongering, just to hide that fact so people throw the baby out with the bathwater. And that's the way it always is, folks. This is what classic COINTEL works. You always embellish the truth to the point that it becomes unbelievable. And when the sky doesn't fall on the set day, everyone throws the baby out with the bathwater. And then you're able to continue what you wanted to do to begin with. And that's the way they always play it. You know, this has been one of the biggest downfalls of the truth move, that it's been one of the biggest obstacles of the resistance, is people simply being willing to believe anything and putting it out there as truth before they've researched it and just muddying the waters. And this is why when people ask me questions often on interviews, I mean, if I don't know the answer to something, I simply say I don't know the answer to it. You know, if it's not my forte, I say it's not my forte. You know, because very often in a lot of the stuff that people put out there online, you'll find that all they've really got to go on is information that I've got from other people, which was simply their opinion on something, and you don't know how true it was, and then someone takes that opinion, and they create an opinion out of that, and it just further muddies the waters. You find that very few people actually have first-hand information regarding much of the stuff they're talking about. You know, it's just like that, folks. And it gets to a point where you don't know what to believe anyway. I mean, all the stuff they write in books, where does all this come from? I mean, I question everything, ladies and gentlemen. I really do. I don't trust any information that comes to me that I cannot verify myself through my own experiences. You know, sometimes books can be helpful. Sometimes online information can be helpful. Sometimes talking to people can be helpful. But nothing really works like human experience. And if you get out and you travel the world and you're observant and you just kind of take a third-party perspective, and you step back and you just watch things, watch the stage, watch the sideshow, watch how people interact, watch how governments interact, watch where the technology is going, watch how it all fits together, folks, and you can see it. Once you see it, you can see right through it, and it becomes like glass. And a lot of people do that. I mean, once they wake up to what reality is, it shocks them that they never saw it before, because once they see it, it becomes so incredibly obvious that they just can't figure out why nobody else can see it. It's an amazing thing. It really is. The mind control that people are under, they just simply cannot see what controls them. They don't understand how the whole system works. And really, it's just all fear-based mind control. It's the misplaced belief in authority, which is all the result of subtle forms of terrorism, mind control, and psychological coercion that takes place throughout our lives right since birth. And there's been so many aspects to it, there really has. I mean, I've done shows where I've talked about the breakdown of the family unit, all the things that they've done to fracture our minds in such a way as to make us very, very easy to manipulate, make us malleable. They can just about bend us into any shape they want now. And they can do it because people don't realize it's being done. That's the big thing. You know, George Orwell even said that building the perfect prison where the prisoners are happy and no one really realizes that they're in a prison, it's the only way you can really have a fully functional prison, a fully functional matrix, if you will, is if the prisoners are happy. And even better, if the prisoners don't even realize they're prisoners and don't even realize they're being farmed. And that's what we've got here, folks. We've got a people farm. You know, the law system is kind of like the paper-based cattle prod that is used to keep us in line, and the police are the real cattle prods that come and do keep us in line when we step outside the marks that our rulers dictate that we should step into. That's the way it works, and we don't really have to do any of this. You know, it's just that people don't see it, but I think people are waking up to it, and I think that is the big thing. People are waking up to the fact that this whole thing has been a scam. All of these governments are working together. They're all working towards the same goal, and you can see it once you step back and look at it. You realize that it's just people here, and we're all working together. Everybody's in the same boat. Doesn't matter what nation you're in. There's no reason for the French to hate the Germans, or the Spanish to hate the whoever, or the Greeks to hate the whoever, or anybody to hate anybody. There's no reason for anybody to be having any war with anybody. No reason for the Saudis to be fighting the Yemenis. No reason for the Palestinians and the Israelis to be fighting together. There's no reason for anybody to be fighting anybody. The whole thing has happened because of fear-based mind control and the programming that's been put into people's minds through the subtle use of terrorism right throughout their lives, and they simply don't know it. Now, even fear of the other nation coming to get you, this is terrorism, folks. This is putting fear of something in you which simply doesn't exist. The fear of nuclear war, this is terrorism. There's never going to be a nuclear war. Just the fact that they tell you these bombs exist and they're going to blow you up one day, this is terrorism. Just telling you that, folks, because that keeps you in line, and that's why they do it. It's the same as being threatened with having the cane at school. It's the same as being threatened with having to wear a dunce hat and sit in the corner. It's the same as being excluded from some excursion at school, just being left out in some way, being ostracized in some way. The fear of that happening to you, the fear of punishment, is what keeps you in line. And that, my friends, is terrorism. And that is what our entire society is based on. And when you really step back and look at it, you can see it. In fact, it becomes so starkly obvious when you do see it that you wonder why you never saw it before. And you wonder why this is why we've been trained to bring up our children, and why society is so accepting of this type of terrorism and mind control being inflicted upon children. Because that's what it is. And it's getting even more subtle, because now all it takes is the fear of being locked out of the system, the fear of not being able to use your iPad or get likes on Instagram, the fear of not having your face out there, the fear of not being able to access the internet. That's all it takes for someone now. That's all it takes to keep them in line. And all this, even our dependence upon the internet, the way it's been done and the way it's now being controlled and curtailed and moved into this place where you have to use your thumbprint and all this sort of stuff. And if you don't do the right thing, you will be locked out by social crediting. Even the social crediting system itself is terrorism. And it's important that we recognize this. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. There's plenty more to come. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So when you really look at the way our whole society is based on fear-based mind control, I mean, everything about it is based on fear-based mind control and the subtle use of terrorism, you really begin to see just how dysfunctional Western society really is. I mean, you know, we're pretty great in some ways. We're fantastic in others. I mean, you know, all the technology we've done, our architecture. I mean, admittedly, a lot of the architecture is pretty cheap and prefab, but we've managed to build some pretty incredible things. We've managed to make some pretty amazing achievements through our technological prowess and through our intellectual prowess. But when you look at this substructure of Western society, you look at the divide and conquer mechanisms that are all put in place, the subtle use of terrorism and mind control to do everything, and you really begin to see where we went wrong and why we have done such damage to the world. You know, we've brought all this technology out to the world, but in doing so, we've kind of inflicted our mentality upon them. And our mentality is very, very disconnected as far as families go, as far as being human beings go. It really is quite a disconnected social system that we've constructed for ourselves, because it's all based on fear-based mind control. And it's getting even worse. I mean, when you look at political correctness, this again is fear-based mind control. You're not allowed to think what you want to think, and you're not allowed to say what you want to say under fear of punishment. This is terrorism. You know, any regulation that you are forced to comply with under threat of punishment, this is terrorism. Just by definition, it is. It isn't learning. You know, you don't learn how to be a better person. You're doing what you're told because you know if you don't, you'll get punished. This isn't learning. This isn't any way of learning how to express yourself. You know, there is no path that leads towards becoming a better human. through this education system, because it's all based on fear-based mind control. It's all based on the threat of punishment. It's not based on a desire to learn. It's based on a desire to protect yourself by doing what you're told and not stepping outside of the lines because of what will happen to you if you do. And when you see this, folks, you start looking around at our society, you begin to see it everywhere. This is how all of our society is structured, even the road rules. You know, you're wearing a seatbelt in the car, not because you want to protect your life, but because you're in fear of being fined if you don't do so. You're doing so under the threat of punishment. And this is no way to learn how to be a responsible person and to protect yourself. Same as the way people don't speed, the same as the way people follow all these road rules. They should do so because they are responsible people who've done driving courses and know how to control a vehicle and realize that it's the right thing to do. Because they are responsible. They've been educated to be responsible, to be competent, to be people of integrity. That is how you teach people to be good drivers, and that is how you prevent road accidents. You don't do it by telling people they have to drive between the lines and do what they're told under threat of punishment. You know, look at things like even our social system. Look at the production and supply of electricity, for example. I mean, we've constructed social systems and cities whereby we need electricity basically to survive. We need electricity to be able to cook. We need electricity to be able to keep our homes warm, to be able to heat our homes, have lighting, all sorts of stuff. We could do it other ways. We used to do it other ways. We used to use gas. We used to have fires to keep our house warm. We used to collect rainwater, all of these sorts of things. I mean, even now in the system that we've got, we can have solar panels, and if you really want to get into it a little bit further, possibly free energy devices and all sorts of stuff that we could have. But the governments won't let you do any of that. They provide an electricity supply for you, so you can do all that with electricity. But if you don't pay your electricity bill, they'll cut it off, and they'll allow you to freeze to death, and they will not allow you to collect firewood, put a fire in your home, or any of that sort of stuff. They remove from you your capability to do things in a natural way, and then they provide the means for you to do it their way. But they do it under the threat of punishment if you don't comply, if you don't pay your bills and all this sort of stuff. I mean, really, when you look at electricity, I mean, if we're going to have a social system and we're going to have technology and all the things we do, well, electricity should be supplied freely by the government for the populace, because that's how our social system runs. You shouldn't have to pay for things like electricity. You shouldn't even really have to pay for a roof over your head. It makes no sense to do this. You know, the basic things that we need to have a society, you know, those things that form the basic substructure should be provided by the society. Now, free medicals should be there in every social system, in every government that we have, every country that we have. It should be the first duty of any responsible government to provide free medicals for their population, to provide free electricity for their population. These sorts of things are a given. These are the basic necessities of any functional society in the modern world. And all of these things should be supplied. Housing should be supplied. Medicals should be supplied. You shouldn't have to pay to become healthy if you're sick. You know, you're going to a hospital with your arm half hanging off and they want you to sign a form and sign half your life away before they'll fix it. Well, what's the medical industry even there for? Is it there to fix people or is it there to make profit? You have to look at how our social systems are structured and really what we should be doing and how we could structure them so much better. If we had a functional government that served the people in any way, shape or form, housing, medicals, all these things would be supplied. Electricity and water should be supplied. You shouldn't have to pay for these things. These are things that we need to function in life these days. I mean, sure, you don't need electricity. You could move to a place where you don't have any. But if you're living in a city and you're forced to have this stuff, then it should be provided for you freely. Because that's the problem. You know, when you're living in a city, you're forced to be on the grid. And if you're on the grid, they make you pay to be on the grid, and they will discard you. They will allow you to become homeless. They'll allow you to starve and freeze to death if you do not pay to access the grid that they force you to use. And not only that, but they don't give you the option to use anything else if you are living in a city. That's the problem. And the whole methodology underlying this whole thing is terrorism. It's fear-based mind control. It's the threat of punishment if you do not do what you're told. And in the case of cities, you've got to face this punishment in order to have access to the basic necessities of life that society should be providing for you if we're going to even have these societies. I mean, never forget, government is employed to manage infrastructure. That's what they're supposed to do. And what they do is they put it all in place and then they make you pay for it and they discard you if you don't. Now, the infrastructure that modern society provides for you is basically your own prison that they force you to be in, and they force you to pay for your own slavery. And the way they do it, again, is through the subtle use of fear-based mind control and terrorism. That's what our whole society is based on. Like I said, folks, when you step back, you can see it. It really does become crystal clear, and we could construct something far, far better than this. You know, if we had systems that were put in place to help people become all they could be, to help people learn, to help people become better human beings, we wouldn't have a society the way we have. And all the problems that we face, when people attempt to address these problems, they just go down one of the paths the government has provided for them. They'll protest a certain symptom, which is simply a symptom of the overreaching problem of the corruption of our society itself. The fact that everyone is in a state of hardship in some way, because nothing is really right. Nothing about anything is right in this society. And all of our methods of protesting government are really just promoting antisocial ideologies within our community. You know, you've got these little focus groups who aren't dealing with the larger problem. They're all focused on their one issue because they see that as the be-all and end-all. They're not looking at what has created it and how their little focus on that issue is simply putting them against people who are focused on another issue. And really, both of the issues that they're focusing on are simply a symptom of the overreaching problem of this fear-based mind control system that we live in. And you can't tell me government doesn't know this and they don't know what they're doing, because they know perfectly well what they're doing, folks. And they're all doing it together. They're all working together. That's the biggest tool they have, is keeping the population divided. You know, we're never really looking at where the problems come from. And we look at our problems and people will go, well, you've got to blame society. Well, okay, you can blame society to a certain degree, but what has structured society in this way? Because when you look at society, all of the functions of society are based on that which is legislated to be that way. So it all really comes from government. You know, it's a bunch of people up there, a bunch of opportunists who are creating all these lines and making you walk between them under fear of punishment. Everything that we do is under fear of punishment. Like I said, political correctness. You've got to think the right way, say what I want you to say, don't offend anybody, under fear of punishment. Well, that doesn't teach anybody to be a better human being. It just causes people to repress their emotions. They end up completely stressed and on Prozac or Zoloft or something. And that's not going to fix anything. And all these things that the government brings in that it tells you it's bringing in to keep you safe and to keep people happier, you know, all this political correctness and we need to respect each other and all this rubbish that they say, they're not doing it to get people to respect each other. You do that through proper education, through people discovering what it is to be a human being. That's how you get people to respect each other. You don't legislate it. You can't think a certain way or say a certain thing under fear of punishment. That is not making a better society, that is making a far more destructive society, because you're causing people to bottle their emotions up and never be able to express them. You're causing massive amounts of stress in the human psyche by even suggesting that such a system be put in place. And all it does is lead to a further degradation in the human condition, because most of the people in society are simply not prepared to really look at the root cause of the problem and what has caused society to be the way it is. Which again is because it's been legislated to be that way by politicians who are all sitting in abuse of the office that they hold. I mean, I've gone through this so many times, folks, but the politicians are controlling people in such subtle ways, and all of it is based in fear-based mind control, and people are simply too scared to call it and often too frightened to even look at it or admit that it may be true. But when you step back and look at our society, folks, you see it in every single aspect of our society, even in employment. Now you go to your job, you've got to do what you're told, you've got to do this under fear of being sacked, because if you be sacked, you'll have no money and you'll get out in the cold, you'll starve, you'll freeze, you'll die. It's all fear-based mind control, and what it does is it prevents you from ever doing what you want to do and experiencing your life to the fullest of your potential. It just keeps people corralled, keeps people under control. It's a perfect system of people farming. And that's what we have, folks. The world is run by criminals, and they're using terrorism. They always have used terrorism as a method of controlling society, and they use it on every level, from the most subtle to the most extreme. But it's about time that we admitted this and realized what we have to do, the inner work we have to do to change things, because we do have to do this inner work, folks, and what we have to do is discover ourselves, rediscover ourselves, and respect ourselves enough to actually stand up for ourselves and call things for what they are. You know, we can't do this anymore. We can't allow the system to just continue going where it's going, leading into this smart grid, leading into this psychological dictatorship that it is leading into. And, you know, it's already a psychological dictatorship, but it's going to be far worse if we allow this whole system, like everything I've outlined for you today. Imagine when all this is being run by an algorithm that has all of these politically correct and socially correct and economically correct parameters programmed into it, and that's what we end up with. Now, a lot of people have been talking about the AI as well and how it's all moving over to AI and that's what's going to be controlling it. And there's people that are working to try to program empathy into the computer and they don't really understand it. Empathy is a feeling. It's something that you feel. It's not even something that you can put into words. So if they're programming empathy into a computer, how can this even be done? Now, empathy could be great in a computer, not a problem, but what is that empathy based on? Is it basing that empathy on its concept of human emotions, on the concept that people should never have harm done to them, on the concept that people should never be offended by harm being done to them? Because if so, then it's basing that empathy on political correctness, and this is not empathy, it is in fact everything we are standing against. That's the thing. You can't program empathy into a computer because empathy is a human emotion. You don't have empathy by understanding what someone else is going through. You have empathy by experiencing it yourself. Understanding what someone's going through is called sympathy. You have sympathy for someone. To have empathy for someone is because you know, because you've done it, and you're not going to have a machine, a computer, an AI that has ever done anything humans have done. You're never going to have a machine that's had its leg broken or its back broken or its heart broken. You're not going to have a machine that's had polio. You're not going to have a machine that's ever lost all its money in a financial crash. You're not going to have a machine that's ever lost a child. You're not going to have a machine that had a car accident. You're not going to have a machine that had any human experience at all. So it is completely and utterly impossible to ever be able to program an emotion like empathy into a machine, into a computer, into AI, no matter how sophisticated a programmer you think you are. Empathy is a human emotion. And it will never be anything else but a human emotion. Perhaps it's an emotion that is also felt by animals, but it is an emotion that is felt by a living, breathing organism of flesh and blood. It is not something that can be programmed into a machine. All you can do with a machine is give it an understanding of what empathy means, and you can program emotional responses into the machine. But again, if these emotional responses are based on the need to never offend anybody due to your politically correct stance, then this empathy that this machine holds will be everything we don't want it to be. That's the problem. There is no way that we want our lives dictated by a machine. A machine is great for running algorithms, running codes, getting things to work efficiently, but a machine that dictates what you can and cannot do, this is not what we want, and this is not where we should allow ourselves to be led. Because even that itself is terrorism, the threat of being locked down to the system, what they've done in China with the social crediting system, this itself is terrorism, just inflicting that type of restriction on people. And they've introduced it in such a way is that once you are blacklisted on that system, you are always blacklisted. What you are considered to be is untrustworthy, which is why you were blacklisted to begin with, and once you're untrustworthy, you're always untrustworthy and you never get access to those things back again. You never get your rights back. You never get access to airline tickets again. You never get access to high-tier trains again. You never get access to the normal things that people have in their society simply because you said something the government didn't like. And that's all based on algorithms. That's all based on politically correct algorithms, on algorithms that are looking after people and making sure you don't offend anyone. That's the way it's going, folks, and that's a very bad system. And really, when you look at it, that whole mentality and that whole algorithm that is pretending to be empathy by protecting people's feelings is, in fact, based on fear-based mind control and is using terrorism in order to achieve its objectives. This is not empathy. This is not anything that would serve humankind. This is not anything we need as a society, and this is going to benefit our society in no way at all. The only people that's going to benefit is the ruling kakistocracy, and that's the problem, because that is where we're heading into, simply because people can't see how this system works and what's really been done to them and why they need to be politically correct all the time, why they are in such fear of speaking out against anything. You know, and it's really nothing to fear, folks. I mean, you could speak out. If you were a strong, united community, you could speak out and change the world in a day. But people have been cowed through the subtle use of terrorism right throughout their lives, through the business systems, through the scholastic system, and it's all happened without them even knowing that it was happening to them. That's where our fear of authority comes from, our respect for authority comes from. It's because throughout our lives we've been subject to the subtle use of terrorism and fear-based mind control in order to coerce us into compliance, and by the time we become adults, for many people, that's all they know. The problem is that many people simply can't see it. You know, it's very disturbing for many people to admit that this is what their lives have been. And of course the government does what it can to keep the people in a state of complacency all the time, gives you little social gifts, who build a new park for you or a new playground or something like that. So it offers out certain appeasements to the people to keep them happy, to make them think that everything's good. But really, it's all done so that they simply don't notice the system that they're actually living in and the fear-based mind control that they're living under. And this is really about to get so much worse, folks. It's about to be taken to the next level. I don't like to be the purveyor of bad news, but it is. Now, with this whole 5G grid that's coming online, the whole smart system that's coming online, it's about to be taken to the next level. And you think about it. As I've often said, underlying the 5G system is the fact that it can be used as an active denial grid. Active denial is microwave cannons. It's setting up no-go zones. That's what you can do with 5G. Imagine if you're in a system where you are blacklisted by the algorithm to the degree that you simply can't go in certain areas. It'd be possible to set up control zones to keep you locked into certain areas. They could keep you locked in your house if they wanted to. I mean, if you actually exploited your social credits to the point that they thought you were a danger to society and they simply wanted to keep you under house arrest, well, with a smart grid, they could set up an active denial zone right around your home, and you would have to order food to come into your home and all that sort of stuff. The computer would do it for you to make sure that you're all looked after, because it would have empathy. It would be caring about you, making sure you are supplied with all the necessities of life. It's just that you can't leave your home. You know, they can do that with the 5G grid. I mean, these 5G towers that they're putting up, the relay stations, they cover very, very short distances. The millimeter wave, it's a very, very short wave. That's why they've got to put up so many posts everywhere. But by putting up so many posts, I mean, conceivably, you'll end up with a post on every four corners of your house block, and they could set up that particular area to be a zone where people cannot enter and people cannot leave. That could be done through the 5G system. And if it's all determined by an algorithm, and suddenly the algorithm decides that you're socially unacceptable and needs to keep you in that area, well, it could conceivably do that. And what would your appeal process be? Who are you going to contact to let them know that you're locked in the area? Who are you going to be able to appeal to get your privileges restored? There won't be anyone you can appeal to. And admittedly, I mean, that's been taken to a worst case scenario, and it may seem like science fiction to some people, and maybe it is science fiction. But the thing is that this is what the 5G system is capable of doing. If they wanted to do that, they could conceivably do it quite easily with the 5G system. They can set up no-go zones, they can set up safe zones, they can lock people into their houses, and they can spy on absolutely everything that you're doing once the smart grid is in place. And when I say they will be doing it, folks, by the time the smart grid comes online and it's all run by the AI, it won't even be they, it will be the algorithm. And the algorithm will simply do what it needs to do in order to have the system run efficiently. If that means locking you out of the system, well, that's what it'll do. I mean, what's going to be like, folks, when you're lying in bed, making love to your partner, and you know that your clock radio is listening to you, and your television monitor that you have in your room is watching you? Even if you've got it switched off, the camera is still watching you, the clock is listening to you, everything in your room that's plugged in, anything that is electronic, anything that is connected to the power has a chip in it and is smart and is therefore listening and watching you. And if you say anything that the algorithm doesn't like, it may possibly blackban you or blacklist you because you said something that the algorithm thought was politically or socially incorrect. You may have said it in the comfort of your own home. You may have said it in your own bed, speaking to your partner at night. But the machine heard you and it blacklisted you. And when that happens, you have no appeal process. You have no one you can even contact to say, hey, I need my privileges restored. We were just having a conversation in bed. It was hypothetical. Who are you going to appeal to? You're not going to have anyone you could appeal to. And again, this is a worst-case scenario, but the fact is that that is the type of system and the type of surveillance that we are allowing to come online by complying with the rollout of this 5G and this smart system. By allowing this system to come online and not taking some major steps to increase public awareness and take some action to stop it, we are allowing the ruling kakistocracy to take their fear-based mind control system to an entirely new level of social terrorism. And that's what it is, folks. Everything about this smart system, everything about the IoT, is based on social terrorism, the subtle use of fear-based mind control to coerce the population into compliance, and it's being presented to them under the guise of convenience and political correctness. And we need to make a lot of noise about what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We really do. And we've got to name things for what they are and name the criminals that are rolling this system out as being what they are. They are criminals. Every politician in the world who has not yet spoken out against this system, any politician who is supporting the rollout of this system, is a criminal and needs to be removed from office immediately. And basically, folks, as I've said so often lately, they all work together anyway, and the reality is that the entire political and governmental system across this earth is a criminal system. It's one system. It's one organism. They all work together. And we need to pay attention, wake up to ourselves, and call things out for what they are while we still have the time to do it. I mean, honestly, folks, to hell with these people. I'm really sick of these people. I'm sick of all these politicians. And if any of you happen to be listening to this show, you're all criminals, the lot of you. Malcolm Turnbull, the Prime Minister of Australia, you are a criminal. You're a warmonger. You're a criminal. Same as Theresa May, same as Donald Trump, same as the Prime Minister of every country you can think of, or the President of every country you can think of, same as the Queen of England, same as all royalty, same as anybody in a position of government on this earth today, the lot of you, you're all criminals, and we're sick of it, and it's about time people stood up and called it for what it is, because when they do, we can change the world. We've got a lot of great technology here, folks, and we could have a really, really wonderful future ahead of us if we just pay attention. And again, folks, we need to stand up for ourselves now while we still have the time to do it, because once this algorithm comes online, once it all goes over to smart and it all goes over to AI, then you're not going to have any recourse. You're not going to have any appeal process, and you're not going to have anyone to hold liable for anything. And the responsibility for the future that we allowed to be created is going to lay squarely in our hands simply because we didn't stand up when we had the chance. Now is that time, folks. So now's the time to make some noise, spread information, get involved. Your future depends on it. And I really can't stress that enough, folks. You know, like, we've done these shows for so many years and we've brought this information to people for so many years. We've tried to alert people to what's going on and to what's coming, but now we are at the crossroads. Now we're right there and it's all being rolled out now. That's why there's been so much confusion interjected into the resistance. That's why there's been so much political theater going on. That's why there's been so much warmongering and posturing going on, because it's all been to distract people from what's actually going on around them. And it's so important that people pay attention. So do share this show if it resonated with you, and do get involved, because, as I said, you know, we could have a wonderful future ahead of us, folks. All we have to do is participate in creating that future. So please do get involved. And that's about it for me, folks. We have now reached that time again where it is the end of this week's show. And again, folks, I'm going to be speaking at AV9 in England in the Midlands in the beginning of May. I'm going to be speaking at a chemtrail conference at Virginia Beach on the 26th of May, and I'll be speaking at a regeneration in the first week of June. And you'll find a banner for that on my website, thecrowhouse.com. Thank you to all the supporters of the show. Thank you to everybody who supports me on Steam. And thank you, thank you, thank you to my Patreon supporters. I really cannot do this without the Patreon support, folks, so please, if you can give me any support on Patreon, it would be much appreciated. But I have completely run out of time, folks. Please consider some of the words that I've said today. I think it's important that people do pay attention, and it's important that we do stand up and make a difference while we can. It is important that we do this, folks, so let's do it. But I look forward to speaking to you again next week, folks. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.